Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Heather. Heather, I thought maybe you, like, ran away.
I am still, like, upright.
You're still around?
And it's summer. I'm supposed to be less busy in the summer, and that's actually not how it works.
And Leah's here. Hi, Leah.
Hi. Yeah, we're busy as fuck right now, too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, this summer has flown by. August is tomorrow.
August tomorrow.
Right?
Tomorrow is August.
We are not talking about August.
Okay.
But how?
It is July forever. Today it is July forever.
Stupid.
Okay. Speaking of the month that we're not talking about, if you're part of our Patreon, you have gotten September's lineup for Sip and Discuss episodes.
Yes.
It will be up on the website on Saturday. I was waiting for the book club vote that's taking place right now and ends tomorrow. Our September book club author is author Daisy Jane, and I've not read her.
I have not read her either.
She has some spicy books, people.
Is there a lot of plot?
Nope, not a lot of plot. And you know that one kink that we talk about sometimes that everyone's like,
You have to specify because there's actually a lot of those.
Yeah. Well, your favorite breeding, and then also breeding. The milk cake.
Oh, you cows.
Yeah. She has some femdoms. That's the route I went.
Yeah, she has femdoms. There's some choices. So if you're in our Patreon, make sure you head over there today or tomorrow and get your vote in for September's book club.
And if you're not in Patreon, but you do get the newsletter, once all the books are chosen, I will be putting it in the newsletter as well.
Yeah, we have a heavy newsletter this week going out.
We do, because, you know, Bookcase Media has been pretty busy. Our authors are really busy.
So. Yeah, it's been a good month, just this week, really, for Bookcase Media clients, which is fantastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So let's get what we're here about, and then we'll talk about other things as we go. Okay.
Sure, because we'll stay on topic.
We will stay on topic. Although Leah's read this book.
I have.
And you read it when it came out?
Yes. Or maybe prior to release, but around the time it came.
Okay. Instead of rereading it, she read some breeding shifter romance.
Yeah, it happens.
Okay. So hopefully Leah remembers the plot of the book.
I have read this twice. I will say that because I read it like either before it came out or when it came out, because I don't remember if this was one of the ones I got early. Sometimes I get them early, sometimes I don't. But yeah, I've read it twice. So I know what's going on. And if you hear screaming in my background, I apologize.
It's fine. So stick with us for the next little while as we break down the enchanting details of Shielding Ember by Susan Stoker. This fits into our theme this week, which seems to be Olympic sports.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of this, who has been watching the Olympics over the last couple days? I know that the group chat is a little insane for Stephen N.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love him so much.
I mean, I love a nerd. I love a nerd who accepts and like calls out, like, I am a nerd and owns that. But then also, like, is like super talented.
Only on the pommel horse.
Only on the pommel horse. But.
And the Rubik's Cube.
That's not an Olympic sport. Anything.
So he goes to Penn State. He's a PSU kid. Like, he did really well in the Penn State gymnastics. Yay, Penn State. But so he, as a gymnast, like, on the team, like, growing up, like, he found that, like, he was just kind of average and everything else. But he really, like, excelled at the pommel horse. And so that's, like, what he focused on. He's like, this is what I'm good at. So I'm going to go for that.
So, like, he was so cute during the all around, taking water and towels to all his teammates and
like
hyping them up.
He is like the hype guy that you want. Like that boy, because I mean, he could be my baby. That boy, like, that is sportsmanship at its finest. Like, that kid was raised right.
And then my girl crush, the queen of the 2024 Olympics, Iona Maurer, right? She and her team of women's US rugby seven, because there's a difference apparently. Their rugby seven, they won bronze. It is the first time ever that women's rugby seven US has medaled. So, and she is owning this Olympics. And Heather's fandoms crossed over, because have you seen the Tiki Talk of Jason Kelce
Oh yeah, I
wearing
have.
the Iona?
Well,
he arm wrestled them.
Well, he arm wrestled them, but then he went and had, he was in a suite with her sisters and his her mom and dad, and her dad teaches Jason how to throw the ball and how to catch it. And then they give her one of, they give him and Kylie Kelce one of the shirts with her face all
I
over
was
him.
gonna say, I am though. I can't, we can't talk about the Olympics without talking about the US women's gymnast, Suni Lee. She's from Minnesota and she is crushing it along with Simone Biles, the Golden Girls. But Suni Lee is so, she's so great. And she is a gymnast at the University of Minnesota. So she's a
That's
golfer.
very exciting. Yeah, they are crushing it. I mean, they won gold on their team, but the men, like Steven, clinched the bronze for them, but it was the first time in like
And
16
a
years.
long.
16 years that the men's team has medaled, which is very exciting because, like, women's gymnastics has like it always gets the hype, but like
Absolutely.
men's gymnasts, like, those are some top-notch athletes.
I feel like we also should shout out to the crocheter that is the diver for
Oh,
the
uh,
He's
Tom
knitting.
Daly,
Or
but he's
knitting,
British.
sorry.
Does it
Tom.
count?
It
He's
doesn't
British.
matter.
No, it
We
doesn't
still
matter.
love him.
His husband is American, though, I believe.
And they have two
But
small children.
they're
They're
freaking
adorable.
adorable. Yeah.
Adorable.
I think they had like Team Daddy or like their shirts had something about him on the back. It was freaking so cute.
Oh my
Did
God.
you
Yeah.
watch any of that synchronized diving?
I just have seen replays. It's intense.
It's freaking intense.
Like diving itself is very intense, but like the synchronized, like there's so much care and thought and chaos that goes into that. Yeah, it's impressive.
So I do want to shout out, there were two Olympic swimmers. They've known each other since they were, or no, Olympic divers, synchronized divers, women.
Okay.
They've known each other since they were eight. And 4 years ago, the one girl didn't make the team.
Okay.
But she made the team this year. They were able to do their synchronized diving together and they won bronze.
That's exciting.
Bronze or
Love
silver, I can't
that.
remember. But they're best friends, they're roommates, they live together. It's really sweet. Just, I don't know. I love a girl gang, and we saw
I
like
do
a
too.
girl gang at the
Well, and I love
Olympics.
that like some of the not so popular sports for the most part are getting more recognition this year, which I mean, Snoop is helping that with his badminton commentary. Like, did you listen to any of that?
No, but I
I
have
go
been
back
watching
and
Kevin Hart and Kel Keenan do their wrap up every night on Peacock.
But yeah, you have to listen to
So
Snoop's
good.
badminton. But I like the fact that they're really focusing on like the not so typical sports. Like, yes, like the other stuff is getting tons of coverage because of
Sure.
the way it's streamed this year, which I really, like I said in the episode, I really enjoy the fact that you can kind of pick and choose everything. But like, it's nice that like you can see the sports that you might not have watched before because they're not as popular.
I
Although
did
I will
learn.
say, we were watching stuff the other day. And you could hear Matt, it was tennis. Nora had put it on, and you could hear all the matches, but there was nothing happening on the screen. And she's like, "What match are we supposed to be watching?" I'm like, "I don't know, kiddo. That's a good question."
I did learn
Tennis
today
is
that the
boring.
I did learn today that the men's US basketball team have a candy coach. He carries buckets of different candies for the guys. They are obsessed with like nerds and runts and all sorts of different kind of like
I
hard
like a good
candies.
runt. Just the
And I'm
bananas,
like,
but
who's eating candy in the middle of a basketball game?
professional
apparently,
athletes are
I mean, they do. I
eating.
know they burn calories. Anyway, So yeah,
Anyway,
I've
back to the book.
back to the book. So the book this week was Shielding Ember by Susan Stoker. Now, right now, this book is wide.
Yes.
But Stacy mentions in the chat that she has not yet read this because she saw that Susan is putting it into Kindle Unlimited in mid-August and she's going to binge them all.
Yeah.
So
she is dropping it. She's actually, and I talked to her the other day, she basically has to wait for all of the links and books to drop off of all the sites before she can slide it over
there. Yeah. So if you haven't watched it, you might want to wait and save this episode because we are going to spoil it.
If you haven't read it.
Did I say watch it?
You did.
She's in rice. If you haven't read this yet or listened to the ebook or the audiobook, oh God. If you haven't listened to the audiobook,
Are hard tonight.
They are hard. You might want to pause things and wait until it slides into Kindle Unlimited and then come back and listen because we
but
are going to
spoil
this.
You don't mind a spoiler. Yeah. Happy listening, friends.
Yeah, stick around because we're going to spoil the heck out of this. Okay, Heather, do you want to give us the things to know before we start?
Sure. Release date was September 14th, 2021. Subgenre is romantic suspense and interracial romance. The tropes are close proximity, protector romance, security force, stalker, sports, Olympic, slow burn.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, before you go any farther, this is an interracial romance. And I will say, mm-hmm. Susan, in her dedication,
yes.
lists her two sensitivity readers, mm-hmm. BIPOC yes. women that read this book to make sure that she handled all topics well and with care.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that a little later here. But I do want to note, the other thing is I yes. didn't list those is a trope, interracial romance. It's not a trope.
Mm-mm.
It yeah. is a subgenre. So I made that distinction because I want to make sure we're being respectful of what it is.
I also like famous person and like, you know, not famous.
Yeah.
It would be like celebrity norm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the word
and
I'm looking
for.
And
he's active duty military. I didn't add that in there either.
Yeah, they are mm-hmm. active duty.
The series is Delta Team 2. It is a series of standalones. It is third person, dual point of view. POP put out percentage is 78%.
It might have been closer to 82. It's hard to tell on the audiobook.
I looked today. I Googled the words. It was 78%.
Okay.
Oh, I start a little bit when they're
No, I went when the P went into the V.
Right. There yeah. was like an intense makeout session like when she was intoxicated and he kept telling her, lay down.
I guess my 75% is the foreplay.
Yeah.
Anyway, audio narrators, Nina Archer.
Which,
the book is currently.
Did you do the audiobook? What? Heather, did you do the audiobook? I did this audiobook. I spent a Kindle credit or Audible credit on it. It is done by one narrator, and I didn't realize it was one narrator until I went to put this form together. Like, it sounds. Her narration of the dude is fantastic, is phenomenal.
I don't think I've ever listened to this narrator before.
It
I
was
will be going
so,
to search for her from now on.
It was so phenomenal and so well done. Like, I was like, what? There's only one narrator? She sounded like a dude. I also want to say, caveat this audiobook is only available in Audible.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not anywhere else. And that was a little frustrating for a wide book. To only have the audiobook available on Audible. Like, I checked Hoopla. I looked in my library to see if I could request the title. Like, a month ago, I went looking. You know how, Libby, like, you can request mm-hmm. to add titles to your library? I went looking to request it. It's not even available for request. I called my local librarian. And it's because it's on Audible exclusive. And there's a business reason authors do this. But for people that are relying on audiobooks that are Audible exclusive, it's really frustrating when a book is wide. Mm-hmm. Because at least for a Kindle Unlimited book, I can borrow the KU book and then get the WhisperSync price of $7.49 or $8 or whatever it is.
$7.49.
But with that book being wide, I had to buy the book at $4.99 and then turn around and buy the audiobook. So that's why it was worth an Audible credit because it would have been, and then to buy it straight as an audiobook, it was $27.97 on Amazon. So
I did check mine out from the library.
Your audiobook?
No, the ebook.
Yeah, the ebook was in the library. The
ebook is available.
Yeah.
I think at one point this was in Kobo, and if I remember correctly from her newsletter, she had said that it had been in Kobo, and she had to pull it because you have to like clear it, which makes sense. I think I had it in there, and I was like, it's in there. And then I was like, oh, poop, it's not. So found it on Libby.
Yeah, the audiobook, but the audiobook's only on Amazon. And Susan isn't the only author that does this, that makes the business choice to leave their audiobooks only available on Audible. Yeah. It's the main audiobook platform. But it is a little frustrating as somebody that does 5 to 6 audiobooks a month, at least, it's not done in a way that's affordable. And if you're going to have a wide book and not make it available everywhere, it just, particularly because we get some authors who are kind of preachy about like, I need to be wide because I want to be in libraries. But then you go and find out that their audiobooks are only available on Audible. Like,
one of these does not compute.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my little moment on that. Okay. So we talked about where it was available already.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about Doc or Craig and Ember. And I have to tell you, I really like how Susan did this, that he has a nickname for everybody else in the world, but the heroine calls him by his given name.
Every once in a while, she has a heroine who refuses to use their team name. Like, it's not always, but...
Series alludes that they all call the heroes by their first name.
She might. Well, because Caroline, her first one, she refuses to use anybody's nicknames.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is their first name. She's like, I won't call you that. What is your real name?
Like, Grover? I'm sorry. I can't look at a grown man and be like, hey, Grover. I think of Sesame Street and a grumpy... No, I'm not doing that.
You're not doing that. I will say I picked this book up at book 7. I didn't read any of the other books. I was a little... The pages are not crowded because I expect a team dynamic, but they kept them really tight. Even with her support team and her support characters that were around, they really kept the guys and the girlfriends pretty tight for a book 7.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there were moments that I'm like, who's that guy? How many kids that guy got? Wait, does he have a wife? Is he the one looking for the girl that's missing? Like, I did have a couple of moments of like, who's that guy?
I think it helped that some of them were in the Olympics with them and then some were not. Yeah. And so like, you kind of got to know like the ones that were at the Olympics a little bit more. And then when they came back.
Well, and the way that she structures her books, a lot of times, like the heroes or in the heroines, like there's one or two out of the team that they're closer with. And so those are the ones that are on the page a little bit more. So you kind of understand their dynamic a little bit more. And it's not that the other ones are on the periphery. They're just not as focused and forward as some of the other ones. So like, if you're not like clear on who everybody is, and I mean, if you're not Crave with names, that doesn't help.
No.
So it may not be the book issue, but it
could
be.
It could be a Becky issue. I also will say we didn't content warning this, but the heroine Ember, she does have a stalker. There is some on-page violence. There is a bomb within a public place and a crowd. Yeah. So if those are sensitive subjects for you, this is probably not the book for you.
Well, and so that was one of the things I liked. So it's the Olympics in South Korea, right? They're in South Korea.
Yep.
I've said that. I'm like, wait, is that the one that we're allowed to go to? Like, I had a moment of
well,
like,
and I think that it was her way still... of not making it in Tokyo because that was the summer the Olympics were in Tokyo.
Well, it gives that like break from reality, but at the same time, like something like this, like has happened at Olympics before, like maybe not to this magnitude, not to this scale, but these are real things that have happened.
1996. Yes. The bombing at the Olympic Park.
Yeah, like it is something that happened. It is something realistic, and it gives that like element that like just because this is a world event, there are people that do not care about that.
Well, no. And I will say, so I struggled a little bit with the stalker aspect. It's very light.
It is.
This is very relationship heavy. The suspense is very light in this book. And we learn who the stalker is in the end, in the last like 10%. I wish there had been more stalker sprinkled throughout, maybe more close calls, maybe more threats to her. Just because I feel like all of a sudden in that last 25%, she squeezed all the clues into that last 25%.
Well,
I
but you
don't
also go
think
ahead,
Ember
Heather.
realized. I don't know if Ember, like, I don't know if Ember really was picking up on the fact that she had a
Probably.
stalker.
Well, because if you at the beginning of the book, when she talks about like the social media aspect and what her parents do, like she has a team of people who take care of all the comments, deal with all that
Well, but she
stuff.
took letters. So, like, in my opinion, that would have been a great place. Like, she had letters with her at the Olympic Village that she had gotten from her mom. Wouldn't that have been a great place to like
Yeah,
slip something in?
but were they already screened? You know what I mean?
But it would have been, but we know that she
I'm
had
not
access.
disagreeing, I'm
I
just
mean, we know she had
saying.
access. I just feel like, and we talked about this with Anna Blakely's book. I like the suspense. I like the mystery. I like the whodunit. And so I want more. I think that creates intensity and between the couple. And that gives us, so they, like, to be honest, there was a lot of vibes between these two, right? Like, it's instant connection. They're vibing, they're feeling it. And yeah, you have a couple pow moments, but don't you think, like, to kick up his protective nature just a little bit more, or to have her like backing away a little bit more and being a little more cautious about things. If we had had a little bit more of those stalker suspense moments
Trickles, yeah.
sprinkled in, that it would have just given a little bit more context and content to the story, and it would have been less fun. I mean, it was a great book. I really enjoyed it.
Well, but I wonder if part of it was like there was so much, like the book itself, like you said, it is more relationship heavy, more character driven. And it was more about like Ember's growth of like taking charge of her life. And like when she finally has like control, that's when things kind of like she kind of loses that control in that moment. So I wonder if maybe that's why we get more of the vibe feeling in like their relationship. And it's like, she's really taking back something that she has lost for years and years.
Well, and I was sad that we didn't get more of his family dynamic. It's
Yeah,
hinted
me
at
too.
that he was a Caucasian baby, or child adopted by a black family that were family friends, and he was raised with them. And some of the hardships he faced and they faced having a white child, adoptive child, I wish that we had had some interaction with his family. Just that next level. I will say, like, the first 20% of the book was hard to get into. And I don't know if it was because it was book seven, but like there was a lot of world building for the Olympics and a lot of who is Ember as a character, which I didn't mind, but I feel like there were just some dynamics, we more stalker, a little bit more of his family and his background that would have helped just push things along a little bit and understand why he's one of those instant connection boom kind of guys. Or why
And it
she was
was,
for him.
she also is an athlete in a sort of a unique sport too, which is sort of like interesting now because like we're paying attention to badminton. Who would have thought we'd be watching badminton on? And she's a oh my gosh,
Pentathlete,
pentathlete.
yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea that that even existed.
Well, and that's the thing, like it's been around for forever, basically. But like nobody's really talking about it.
I will say, if you listen to podcasts, because you're listening to us, check out the Stuff You Missed in History Class episode from yesterday. It's about events that are no longer part of the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And things like there used to be more long form types of these competitions, tug of war, and why tug of war doesn't exist.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that used to be an Olympic
That's
sport.
awesome.
But now it's not anymore because there was controversy and scandal with tug of war.
Like
I'm
track and
sure.
field day in elementary school.
Yeah, but it was a deal. And there was
I
like
mean, tug of war is
fisticuffs
like
and a
intense.
scuttle. Like it was, yeah.
I don't
Anyway,
know
go
out
listen to
in
that episode. It was really
Minnesota,
interesting.
but
Okay.
here in Harmony, tug of war gets intense.
Oh, it yes. I
Yeah.
remember my husband's a fourth grade teacher, and he brings our 17-year-old every year to volunteer because then the 17-year-old can be on his team, his class team, and they win because the 17-year-old is
17-year-olds.
there.
Oh, he brings a ringer.
That's only good for one more year.
It's true.
Oh no, don't think that, college gets out real. Yeah, he'll be here.
It's so
Yeah, but
funny.
at a
He's so
certain
cute.
point, it gets like he's an adult. It doesn't count anymore.
6 months, he's an adult.
So I do feel like this book had three parts almost.
Yeah.
You've got the
Yeah, because it had the
Olympics.
Olympics, it had that middle section, and then you had like when she gets to Texas.
Well, no, you really like, even I think she coming to Texas is part of that middle part.
Yeah,
I
you
think that
think?
like once she opens her school and moves, like once they have the sex and it's the intensity of the suspense, it feels like a whole, that part of the book moved way faster
Yeah. Yeah,
than
it did.
any of the other parts.
But I will say, like, if you read Susan, like her beginnings, I'd say the first like third of the book is a little like not every book, but the first third of most of her books are a little bit slower because it's like introducing the story and
Yeah.
like where she's going with it. And then like usually like the last two thirds is a little bit more active, but it depends on the book and like where she's going. Like the last book, like it opens up like intense. So.
I thought we were going to get a second act breakup for a moment because Doc was ready to do something really stupid.
He
Yeah, he
was.
was.
He was like making this choice that he was pulling away from her. He hadn't called her in 2 days. He was really freaking grouchy with everybody. And he was just done. Like, he just emotionally couldn't handle long distance. Which, shut up, you big fat whiny baby, because you're gone how many days a month
I
for
know.
special assignments?
He's
You big
like,
stupid idiot.
he's also how much older than her,
Right.
too.
Oh yeah, it was an age gap. We didn't even have that in there.
We didn't have that in there. I forgot about that. But he's like 10 years older than her, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah, she's
Really?
25 and he's 37.
How did I miss that?
Nobody
Well, because
knows,
he's
but
on the
it's
verge of
okay.
retiring. He talks
Yeah.
about that he's only got a
Oh, yeah.
couple years left and then he'll be done, and what will his life look like after, and her
But yeah,
commitment.
it's like you are how old? And fairly like well established
Yeah, I
in
mean, you
like
have a
your
house.
job.
Well, and he acts like he's the poorest guy that ever lived because he bought a like rundown house. He's special forces. He and the one of the other teammates is in a bed in a house with 6 bedrooms and on sprawling acreage. Like,
Yeah.
how does one of your teammates have that kind of money, 3 kids and a pool, and
Unless
you're like, oh, I have to live in this closet?
he's like my husband, who like when you go to the grocery store and he sees a $3 like thing, like bottle of like ranch, he's like, do you think we need that? It's kind of expensive. And it's like, I could buy the $7 bottle of ranch, but
Buy
I'm
the
going
freaking
with the
ranch and shut
$3
up.
one.
I
Well,
can't
then he
stand
would
it.
hate me because I don't buy ranch. I buy it in the produce section because that's
Well,
better.
no, that's what I do if I don't make it at home.
Yeah.
So, well, because the girl has very sensitive skin and will get welts if we buy certain foods. Like if it touches her face, she gets welts. So we had to, it's a whole thing. It's okay. So we had to like, we have to buy the semi-expensive ranch so it shouldn't get welts on our face. But do we need to spend that
Someone's
$5 or
child needs to see an
$3 on the
allergist,
ranch?
but you know.
Hey, we don't need to see it. We have it under control. She doesn't get the welts because we avoid the foods.
I think he's probably frugal. Like, I think he sort of has just lived like, I hate to use the word simple, but like he's kind of a
Yeah,
basic
cheapskate.
guy.
He's kind of a
Well, and
cheapskate.
that's a conversation she has. I was a, you know, when she's sitting on his porch, she's like, I didn't know if your neighbors were going to call the police on me. And he's like, well, that neighbor is black and that neighbor is black. You're fine. And those are real conversations having in Texas for sure, right? And really in a lot of neighborhoods right now, unfortunately. So, I mean, that was really a relatable statement. Heather, did you read any of the one-star reviews on this book? They made me so angry. So angry.
Why?
Because people are mean and stupid. Because they accused Susan of putting like her political agenda forward in this book. And she's very clear to talk about consent, women's rights, what it's like to be a black woman, what it's like to live in an area that's being gentrified, and some of the privilege that Ember has from being from Beverly Hills, and that she recognizes this. And people felt like Susan was shoving her political views and trying to educate them through her
No,
book.
but people were also showing their whole asses
They
too.
were. But this is why, the only reason I bring this up is this is a really good example where we can say the simplest of books are political. Art is political. Books are art. Art is political.
Well, also, I mean, I would argue that that's like fact. I mean, I think about just there was that conversation that he had when he said, my brother and I were at a party and they held my brother down on the ground and I was yelling at the cop and he ended up in jail. Like,
Yeah.
that's true.
And talks about the f
Unfortunately.
his adopted parents were stopped at the amusement park because they were walking off with a white child and they kept questioning him to make sure he hadn't been kidnapped.
And separated him from his family.
Right. Right.
I like that section still like burns me up. But sadly, that is what happens.
Well, yes, but I think Susan handled it so incredibly well. The topics that she broaches in the subject, and that was the other piece of it too, is as I was reading it, I went back and I looked. I double checked to make sure she had used a sensitivity reader or a consultant to make sure that those things were done with care and correctly. And it's not that I doubted Susan because we know Susan.
But
Susan's a
it's
constant professional.
any
But I would do
author
it
who
on
writes a
any
book like
author.
this. Like, we always are curious to see if that side of it was taken care of.
And she did a phenomenal job.
I agree.
Is there anything
Wait,
else in
do you
this book we want
wanna?
to talk about?
What did I? He kind of had a dirty mouth. I mean, like when it finally popped, I mean,
And
he.
some breeding kink. Yeah.
Yeah, he
Ooh.
did.
The dirty mouth. Like even before they even had sex, like the conversations, I was like, and even she's like, you gotta stop because otherwise we're not leaving the house.
But consent was important and he would not take advantage.
No, there was absolute
Dirty
consent.
mouth and all.
I love that in her drunken state, she gave him a big giant hickey. And he's like, the guys are just not gonna let this one go.
And he, I could see him being like, look at, you know.
Look at what I got. Look at my
Also, the word
prize.
that makes me laugh every time I hear it is the gussy. It's the piece in your underwear, like
Oh,
the
the
crotch of your
gusset,
underwear
yeah.
is actually called a gussy. That's like the actual terminology. It's said three times in the book and it made me laugh.
Three?
Yeah, said three times.
Well, anytime she talks about the underwear,
Yeah,
like she
anytime she
mentioned
talks
it.
about the underwear, she says the word gussy. Like he slid it to the side. Anyway, But I just think that's a hilarious word. It made me laugh. Because sometimes I'm a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I highlight all of his dirty talking, so if that makes me dirty, then...
I did find it funny.
He was a little obsessed with her boobs.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely a boob guy.
Do we want to talk about her body and the way that Susan did such a great and amazing job just describing her body type?
The fact that, like, she's muscular, but she's still, like, normal.
Yeah. Well, muscular, she still has a little bit of a stomach. You know, she's fit.
Like, when he mentions how much he loves her pooch.
Fupa? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she has a fupa, basically. It's like, thank you for giving her, like a normal body. Like, she's fit. She's in shape. Mm-hmm. But she is normal.
Yeah.
Oh, and, I mean, the fact that, you know, she's, like, a really good shot. There's all this stuff that comes into play. And he just never... He is always uplifting her.
That is one thing, too. Because, like, she's almost a better shot than him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, that's great. Like, that's a really good thing to be. Like, he mm-hmm. encourages the fact that, like, she is, like, good at these things that is somewhat better than he is. Because you don't always get that. Because you get, like, these types of characters sometimes. And they're, like, so, like, alpha and asshole-ish. And it's, like, a woman cannot be better than me at anything like this.
Yeah.
And he is super supportive in all the ways.
Yeah. Well, and she uh-huh. even says, what if I want to dominate you and tie you up? And he's, like, cool, but I get to do it to you, too.
Yeah. There's a give and take.
Yeah. I thought that was really well done, too.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was pigeonholed into this book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He, while it is a protector romance, he is protective. And he's an over-the-top protector. But he wasn't controlling.
No.
And I think that that is another thing that makes it an enjoyable read. And that mm-hmm. another reason Susan's heroes are often talked about.
Yeah.
Because they kind of have that little bit softer side.
Yeah, sometimes. I do think it was funny. They talked about the condom bowls in Olympic Village, though.
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
It's true,
though. I was kind of waiting for them to mention the cardboard beds. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's this Olympics.
No, there were cardboard beds. Cardboard beds started in 2021 with the Tokyo mm-hmm. Olympics.
So Susan, back in the early 90s, actually went to the Olympic trials for swimming. Did you know that?
No.
It did not qualify, unfortunately, but yes, she swam the Olympic trials for, I think it was the 100-meter freestyle.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. I did know
that. Did I mention that we're best friends on Pokemon Go?
I think you have before.
I'm just saying, best friends.
So if you play Pokemon Go, Susan is always looking for new friends.
Yeah.
Can I also, I just, like, a little shout out to Susan. If you are not on her newsletter, you should. I get a lot of author newsletters. Hers is always great.
Yeah.
Always.
They're thoughtful. They're not just sent to send. Mm-hmm. She shares a little insight into her life and how things are going. She talks mm-hmm. about her books. She talks about what's coming mm-hmm. next. She'll answer questions. I do find Susan has a great personality and is super engaging to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're like meh about her books, as a human, she's a pretty outstanding human.
Mm-hmm.
And she's super honest and transparent.
Yeah.
Like, about this whole Kindle Unlimited, and explains why. And she even says, like, I'm not going to make everyone happy. Yeah. But I have readers that can't or don't read Kindle Unlimited, so I have both. And she's mm-hmm. very transparent because she's an author and this is her job. Like, this is how she earns money.
Right. And she made Mr. Stoker go get a job, so...
She also has books free all the time.
All the time.
And it isn't the same ones. She has a rotation and she always sends them out on her newsletter. And she's just a great human.
Well, and if you're a KU reader and you're not finding enough Susan Stoker, she has what, 3 Montlake series?
Yeah.
That are read and listens in Kindle Unlimited.
Is it 3 or is it 4? Hold on, let me.
Wow.
There's the towing, there's the current one.
No, there's 4.
There's 4.
Silverstone, Ace Security, Game of Chance, and...
whatever this current one is.
No, this is Game of Chance. One, two.
I
think it's, I don't know. Maybe it is only three, but I could have sworn it was four.
Hold on.
Okay.
I have a
Oh.
spreadsheet.
Well,
Of course you
let
do.
so before we get to Heather's spreadsheet, let's go ahead and do our thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay.
Leah, is this a thumbs up, thumbs down book for you?
It's a thumbs up for me.
Heather, is this a thumbs up, thumbs down book for you?
This is a thumbs up.
This is a thumbs up for me. I really did enjoy this book. There was some pacing issues, some things I wanted, but overall, it was a really easy read. It was a very good listen. I was super impressed by the audio narrator.
I might have to get the audiobook
Me
just
too.
because like I'm really intrigued by it now,
It
or just
was.
search for this Dina Archer chick and see what I can
It
find
w
by
I was
her.
super impressed. If you like this book, what other books should people try? And one of the ones for me that came up for me is the Buchanan, Claiborne, Julie Garwood series. It's a multi-book series, big giant family. You have a little bit of everything. You've got lawyers, you got doctors, you got FBI men. That whole series is very similar as far as like the big bads and the stalkers and the suspense elements.
Actually, if you are looking for more series like this and you're not sure where to go, Susan's World is open to multi authors. So you can kind of pick and choose who you want to read, how you want to read. There's novellas, there's full length, there's shorter books, there's longer books. That is how I found a few different authors, but it's in the Stoker Aces world. No, the Operation Alpha world. Stoker Aces is her publishing company. But if you want to find other series, check those out. Or you can just message me because I live in the suspense.
Heather, do you have any books you think people would
Yeah.
like?
I think Janie Crouch is a really great one. I really like her linear tactical. She also has the like, oh my gosh, the signs, the different signs. I can't.
Zodiac Tactical.
Yeah, the Zodiac
It's
Tactical.
the spin-off from Linear, and she's actually in the second gen of Linear right now.
Obviously Anna Hackett, love the Sentinel Security series, and then she just released like two super good novellas, so if you're kind of unsure, but sent the Sentinel Security. Oh, I got balloons, sorry.
Happy day.
I shared Sentinel Security on my Instagram and somebody's like, where do I start? And you start with Wolf.
Okay. I think Katherine Cowell is similar, but I actually think character development for Susan is better. So Katherine Cowell could be a comparative also. Okay. So make sure you are back here on Sunday for our next episode. I am not 100% sure what our topic is.
It happens.
We have something, but I think we might be changing it.
I mean, that sounds about right.
So just come back Sunday. We're going to talk about books. And then we are back next Wednesday with The Sweet Spot by Bella Matthews.
Yes.
So I'm excited. That's not an author. I think we've only featured her once. And that's something too that's come up in conversation, like how do we pick these books?
Yeah.
And really it comes down to we have certain criteria we're trying to meet. One, we're trying to variety of authors. So like I think in September we're doing like two debuts.
Yes.
And we're trying to cover all corners of romance. So like, you know, we're a lot of contemporary, some suspense. We're trying to pick a backlist author. We're definitely trying to make sure we are getting hitting either like BIPOC or Asian Pacific Islander or LGBTQI, LGBT,
The alphabet.
the alphabet mafia
Well,
books.
but also like we're going for books that we might not necessarily read, like authors that are like newer on the like horizon for us, because like we have our go-tos, and yes, we're gonna still do those every once in a while, but we want to challenge
I
ourselves to
mean,
find new authors as well.
if you're looking for Sawyer Bennett reviews, if you're looking for Melissa Foster reviews, check out our Patreon, check out our Quick Shots of Romance that are over there. They're probably going to stick over there. Carrie Elks, they're going to stick out over there. Marie Johnston. Ones that we've talked a lot about in the past, we're probably not necessarily, unless it's a book club author, we're probably not bringing them to Wednesdays.
Unless there's a book that we really, really, really
well, unless it's a new anticipated release or it's an author that everyone's like, where do I start?
Well, that's something too. If you have somebody that you want us to read or want us to try, or it is an author that you don't know where to start because they have giant backlists, that's something that, like, just message us on that.
Well, message us, but I will also say, caveat that a little bit, that one of us of the six, there's six of us, right? Yeah. Yes. One of the six of us is pre-reading every book and trying to make sure that at least 2 to 3 of the hosts are going to enjoy that book, which is part of the reason, like, you don't see us doing much Mafia right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we did Karis.
Becky and I are the only ones.
Leah will read some Mafia, but, like, Jenny and Amanda, it's not big for them. It's part of the reason we're not doing a ton of, like, paranormal. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of put that out there, that it's a whole process. Two of the four picks are community driven. And then we're just trying to stay on top and bring you new authors. And we're melting here because we don't have air conditioning. So we're going to wrap this up.
I just want to say about the Bella Matthews for next week is book 4 in the series. So if you really want, you could read.
And it's second gen from her King's series.
Yeah. And it's not an audio yet. So it's make sure audio. You get it and read it.
Okay.
It is KU though. So
It is
KU.
Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode of Buzzing About Romance.
It's always a good time. We went way off topic today.
We did.
What else is new?
Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.